It's now time for the Blown Call Show. All of today's important topics in the world of sports, wrestling, and entertainment, told from a uniquely Canadian perspective. And now, here is your host, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 80 of the Blown Call Show. I'm back. It's Mike the Ref here from Edmonton SPN World Headquarters, a slightly refurbished World Headquarters here, thanks to the fine gentleman, and I use that term very loosely, of the Federation podcast, taking over the headquarters here as we were going to do a review of the Force Pro Wrestling show along with the WWE show. We were going to do it as a joint venture, but they decided to, from all reports I'm getting right now, it was a pumpkin spice chloroform, and I really don't want to know what they did after they dealt with that, but I'm just going to leave that there, folks. It is November 3rd, 2016. In the time that I've been gone, I've actually gone into a bit of a hiding phase here. I've been active on Twitter and Facebook, but in terms of my presence, I've just been trying to stay away, try to stay out of the sight and minds of most people in the world here. Got to enjoy some times around the abyss lately. Was a hell of a couple weeks here. And hell, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the wrestling world here. You got the impending sale of TNA that just went down today. You got the introduction of a new cruiserweight show on the WWE Network starting November 29th on Tuesdays. It's been really crazy here. There's been a lot of positive, a lot of people thinking a few negative here, but both of those topics that I just mentioned there, I'm going to let them settle down a little bit until we find out a little bit more information on what's going on. I know there's a lot of fear and skepticism with a lot of people right now. That's just the nature of the business. But, yeah, I'm always been a proponent of letting the chips fall where they may and just figuring out once the smoke starts to clear a little bit. So, in terms of the indie wrestling scene in town, we have a new RCW Canadian Heavyweight Champion in Scott Justice. Well-deserved, having to take on the likes of Ugg and Slammer in the first round. I'm sorry, I'm calling it a handicap match. But in the second round, he actually got a bye, but decided to put up his spot against PPW, and that's the Vegas version, Wrestling Society X, 10-year veteran, member of the PWI 500, Scorpio Sky. I've seen the video for that match, and you guys are going to as well next week as part of Edmonton SPN Presents. My God, is he a great character out there. And then in the finals, Justice took out Joey Vendetta, who was just as big of a challenge as the other two, to get the Canadian Heavyweight Championship. So kudos to Scott Justice for getting that belt. Now, frankly, when it comes to the sports scene, this seems to be a little busier time with hockey and football and basketball seasons all starting to come. The freaking Cubs won the MLB pennant for the first time in 108 years. CM Punk is smiling from ear to ear, of course, but I think the world might come to an end at this point with all these monumental upsets coming in. In terms of the WWE and TNA parts, they're winding down a little bit because TNA just finished their Bound for Glory. They're starting a new year here, and this is a little bit of a quiet time here for WWE. Going into Survivor Series, usually the ratings are a little bit down. Due to all that other stuff I mentioned, they got a hell of a setup here with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg in Toronto for Survivor Series. But I'm going to talk about that next week on my Blown Call Show here. But overall, you're looking at a very quiet time at the at the upper level, but in Alberta, this is mania season for most of the promotions. We just had Rise of Legends 6 in Edmonton and Calgary with RCW. This Saturday coming up will be Retribution for MPW, Monster Pro Wrestling. And then you just had Fright Night with PWA. It's about equivalent to their Survivor Series. It's their third biggest show of the year after Night of Champions and the Anniversary Show. It's a very busy time for wrestling in Alberta here. So now add in the fact you got Pure Power Wrestling out of Lethbridge, and then also the newest signee to Edmonton SPN, the Canadian Wrestling Coalition out of Central Alberta. And we have a very busy time here right now. But then also one of the biggest news that has come up this week, and I guess I got to bring it up because it impacts something big this weekend. The deal with WWN, the World Wrestling Network, signing up with FlowSlam.tv as part of their new internet package for essentially when it comes – sorry, I fell off traffic there a little bit. When it comes to FlowSlam, they're part of a Flow Sports Network. Essentially, it was created for all the sports that don't get noticed. And let's face it, folks, as much as we love wrestling, the indie wrestling scene doesn't get noticed as much as we feel it really should. There is a lot of great talents out there undiscovered, and hell, that's the reason why Edmonton SPN was created in the first place. It originally was the Blow Call Show, but then it got expanded into Edmonton SPN when I found like-minded people that wanted to get the word out that there is a hell of a lot of good wrestling out there. So, but let's take the long and the short of it on this deal here, folks. When it comes to FlowSlam TV, Flow Sports TV, if you're signing up for it on a monthly basis, it's $20 US a month, which works out to about $27 Canadian. That is a hell of a lot better deal than what WWN was providing with their a la carte services. So, long story short, I usually watch three WWN shows a month, usually two Evolve shows and one Shine show. I do pick up some others when I can here, but if you look at it, one show individually costs $9.99 a month, which do the math, it's about $13 Canadian. You get two shows, you're basically covered with the entire network for the month. And what they're doing, they're actually putting up all the old library that WWN has had, and they're looking to expand even more. So even if they get one more federation that is rather interesting, you can see how this is going to be cost beneficial to everybody in the public. The WWE Network in Canada is $12.99 a month, but there is so much content. But you got to realize that this is a smaller overhead promotion. Flow Sports is also helping fund a lot of the production work from a lot of these groups, so providing cameras, providing better technology to make these guys into better products overall. So in saying that, I don't mind paying $27 a month to get a lot of content that I would have to search for individually and, more importantly, pay for individually. So I cannot wait to see the first show that is going up on the FlowSlam TV website, which is also available on the Roku, and that's Shine 38 coming up this Friday with, of course, my favorite Rachel Elring in a match with Rhea O'Reilly, which frankly is a huge step up, but I'm going to get into that later on in the upcoming events here, folks. But on top of that, she is going to have her first chance of the championship coming up this Saturday with Resistance Pro Wrestling out of Chicago. I don't have all the details on it, so I'm not going to get into it too crazy. But it is a tournament, and the title is the final award. So Yeah, I think this is the first time Rachel's been up and had the chance to get a championship. So good luck to her and wishing her nothing but the best down there. So, but I think dealing with somebody like Rachel here, who is actually, since she is Lance Storm trained, she's learned a lot about subtleties. This is going to be a nice segue into my main topic of the show. In my month that I've essentially been away from podcasts and whatnot on Edmonton SPN, I've had a chance to sit back and watch a lot more wrestling and just enjoy it as a fan and somebody that really appreciates the sport of wrestling and the theatrics of it. And you get to really notice a lot of subtleties when it comes to wrestlers and wrestling promotions. So my main topic here is going to be talking about that. Before we get to that, I just want to say thank you very much for downloading the podcast. Make sure you share it with your friends, your enemies, anybody that likes wrestling, anybody that likes things Canadian. We're definitely try to keep you entertained here, but let's get on to our main topic here this week about subtleties in wrestling here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. All right, folks, time for the main topic of the show here. And the biggest part of this show is going to be talking about the subtleties that make everything when it comes to a wrestling show, a wrestling program, or sports and performances in general. You can relate this into movies. You can see it in so many different variables here, but there's certain things that I've noticed that get someone to that next level versus somebody who is going to be relegated to lower promotions and not necessarily, sorry, lower promotions may not be the proper term, more like local promotions rather than lower promotions, because let's face it, we are spoiled here in Alberta, and from some of the stuff that you guys have been sending in to me, there is a lot of talent all across this country that doesn't get the exposure that it truly does deserve. And that's what the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network is all about, getting exposure for those that deserve it. So, but my whole thoughts on how the subtleties came in came back when we were watching the WWE show at the Northlands Coliseum here October 13th. It was just a house show. But you get to see a whole bunch of little things that you don't normally see in a regular show, and I'm gonna bring up a few things that I saw during the show. I originally was going to talk about this with my review with the Federation, but unfortunately, check out their review, folks. You can find out exactly why I wasn't available, mainly. Something about pumpkin spice chloroform and getting tied up with a banana in my mouth, and yeah, let's just leave it at that. Now, I'm going to say right off the bat, Charlotte Sasha, who ended up opening the card, which shocked the hell out of me, to be perfectly honest. I didn't think these two ladies, for the fact that they've been so strong together, work so well together, was leaning off the card. I'm just happy I made it to my seats for the start of the show. The one thing I did notice with these ladies is the little subtleties of during the match, the proper selling, the amount of selling that they're doing, and not only that, but the end of the match. Like, I don't really want to get into details of all the matches on the card because, frankly, it's a house show. They could be doing stuff that you're not going to see on TV, or you are going to see on TV for that matter. And I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, really. So, but following the match, Charlotte sold her injury all the way up the ramp and sold it like a true savant through the whole thing. She didn't walk out of the ring and just get halfway up the ramp and then no sold it all the way out. People were watching both of these competitors there, and I guarantee you people saw her selling it and were surprised at the condition she was in on Monday when she came out in Denver, Colorado for the contract signing at that time. So it's little things like that that separate you from the rest. Like another example I could give you, and this one actually came up just recently on the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view, and it's something very subtle, but it's something that Rob Van Dam was famous for when he was doing his matches in ECW, and I saw Kevin Owens did this in the Hell in the Cell match, and you never see it on the indie scene or really in any of the scenes anymore. It's sort of a lost art. I want to go back to the time where Owens was pulling out tables from underneath the ring. There was the one table set up, and then he saw another table there underneath the ring. Now, in today's indie days, you're looking at somebody with a table. You're just getting your table set up, and that's it. You already have everything planned and whatnot. Owens, on the other hand, stopped, hesitated, looked at everything as in, okay, what can I do with this? And then pieces it together, and next thing you know, you have a table built in an erection set sort of format, but it didn't look like it was pre-planned and pre-set up. I really enjoy when it looks like somebody put a light bulb on top of their head and just said, wow, okay, now we got to do this. That's cool. It's just a little subtle thing that proves that Kevin Owens is one of the top wrestlers in the world right now. And of course, he's Canadian, so that always gives him bonus points as well. Like I said, when it comes to ECW back then, in the good old days, Rob Van Dam was famous for that. When the guy was leaning over the security barricade, he never instantly thought of doing the guillotine leg drop. He's in that position. Got to get up here. Got to get this done. Same thing when he was doing the Rolling Thunder. He always took a double check, double look. Oh, wow, he's in a perfect position for it. Time to go spring off the ropes here. Little things like that really get you into the story of the wrestling business, the passion. It gets you caught up in a story. Like, you're just not looking at random spots in a match. If you're looking for that, turn on WWE 2K17 and just have the computer run a match. You could just watch that happen. That's basically what wrestling in a lot of circumstances has turned into. And then the other one is, of course, facial expressions. And you could go from top to bottom looking at wrestlers in the ring. If you're not giving a sufficient look on your face when moves are going over, you're not going to capture the entire crowd. And while I try not to be negative here, folks, that is one thing that, as much as I am impressed with the repertoire of a guy like Zack Sabre Jr., the facials and just the recognition that he might be in pain when a hold's put on him is one thing that turns me off from watching a lot of his matches, because he doesn't look like he is in any real discomfort for any of these submissions or wear downs or anything like that. Is he impervious to all this stuff? I don't know. But at the same time, you got to give a little bit of feeling to the crowd. If you want any kind of sympathy from the crowd or any extra little bit of comeuppance when you're trying to get your heat as a bad guy or heel, as they call it, you're going to have to show a little bit of facial expression. Now, on the positive side of this, I'm going to say, hands down, no matter what, the best facials in wrestling today go to the daughter of Tully Blanchard, Tessa Blanchard. If you watch one of her matches that isn't essentially a squash, one where there's some level of competition here, the level of selling on her face throughout the matches is absolutely phenomenal. I dare anybody to come up with better facials than what Tessa comes up with during a match. She shows pain. She shows anger. She shows joy, and all at the right times. So if you guys get a chance, I would highly recommend checking out some Tessa Blanchard matches. I know I put a couple up on the Edmonton SBN Facebook page. And you just look for little things like that. And real talents grow from finding all these little subtleties and putting them together into a great package. Let's go down to the local scene here. And, you know, as much as I talk about how much of a jerk he is overall, when it comes to his attitude in the ring, I have to give credit where credit's due to a guy like Chris Parrish, who knows how to interact with a crowd to every single level that he needs to, whether it be his selling in terms of facials, in terms of his actions in and out of the ring, especially when he's involved in a tag team with Maniac, who is also a great, great person at generating heat when it comes to being a heel. God, I'm using a lot of those terms. Ugh. But I find that a character like Parrish can find a way to work with anybody, and he was definitely deserving of Edmonton SPN Wrestler of the Year last year on the male side. And he's just proving day in and day out why. All right, and when you're talking about RCW, I know that a guy like the Slammer, he's not supposed to sell a whole lot for the mere fact he's got this holier-than-thou Shao Kahn Hail Hydra gimmick going on right now. Hail Slammer. But you look at a guy like Joey Vendetta. That's the guy I would like to focus on here. A guy like Joey knows just enough to get it over that certain level that you need to keep the fans interested in it, but doesn't go over the top to make it seem that you're trying to oversell a certain moment. He knows how to get in, get what he needs to get done, and get out. And not only that, while he's in there, he will take you through a roller coaster of emotions, regardless of what kind of competitor you have. And with Vendetta, it's been a little harder because he's had to flip from good guy to bad guy here more than once this year. And with the cowboy gimmick, it's not as easy as one would think. So, but then you look at the PWA, and the one guy that knows the subtleties the best, and I'd have to say there's quite a few guys there that I have very impressed on the roster when it comes to went to interact with the fans, getting the feel with the fans there. But you can look no further than the former Mayhem champion, Sheik Akbar Shabazz. I have yet to see a match out of the Sheik where he doesn't have the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand during some time in that match. He gets all the little subtleties before the match, including dealing with Eugene there, our favorite fan there, as well as interacting with all the others. Also, during the match, if he's getting beat, you never see him instantly pop up in instant success. I absolutely hate the quote-unquote warrior spirit spot when it comes to wrestling, folks. I'm sorry. To me, that is no different than going into the arcade, almost running out of energy and popping a quarter in. All of a sudden, boop, you're up. With all excuses to TJP, maybe he's got that special power, but when it comes to everybody else, I don't see it, and I absolutely hate it. And Sheik is one of those guys that definitely knows how to keep his emotions in check there and ramps everything up at a proper time, especially when he's in control and the other guy's trying to get his hope, getting the fans to get behind him, helping to hope him up and help him up. So folks, when you go out to a wrestling match, you're going out to enjoy yourself. you're trying to lose yourself in a story. You're trying to get engaged with the action in the ring. I dare you, when you go to a show, just to take a look at, just see how many guys actually work into a story rather than just trying to throw a bunch of 100 spots together in a given match. Because those that know how to throw in the subtleties are the ones that are going to make it into the next level. And that's been proven with so many wrestlers when it comes to Impact, WWE, ROH, and a lot of the up-and-comers that are coming up right now. So, but that's going to end my main topic for the show here. Coming up next is the upcoming events. All right, folks, time for the upcoming events here. And once again, the upcoming events are sponsored by the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network t-shirt store. Check out www.whatamaneuver.net/Edmonton-SPN. We have the Front Row Mafia shirts, and we have another shirt that's going to be coming up here. I'm hoping by Black Monday, or Cyber Monday, as they call it in the States. It is the first, or it's the last Monday in November here, just after American Thanksgiving. You guys aren't going to want to miss out on this because it's a sweet deal that I've managed to negotiate here, and it's going to be a pretty cool shirt to have on. So, but speaking of a lot of cool things, we got a lot of cool events coming up here in the next week to 2 weeks here. I'm going to go into a few of them that I do know the cards about. And, of course, folks, you guys know I'm a big fan of women's wrestling, and we get to see the debut of live pay-per-view on Flow Slam TV. I talked about in the beginning of the show here about the big contract that the WWN Network signed with Flow Slam to show all their shows, and Shine 38 is actually going to be the first show that is going to be shown live on there. So looking over the card, there is a lot of people I'm looking forward to seeing here. You got Leva Bates taking on Jesse Bell Smothers. Folks, if you haven't seen Leva the Rig, you definitely need to. She was known as Blue Pants in WWE, of course, for all those that aren't up to everything here. Then, of course, everybody knows that I'm a big Rachel Ellering fan, and she gets to take on England's own Rhea O'Reilly. Like, I've seen Rhea work a couple matches here and there. I know she's the Pro Wrestling Eve champion out of England, and this is a real step up for Rachel, and I hope that I hope she's successful, but man, this is going to be one hell of a matchup. And speaking of people that I'm really impressed with, if you guys checked out Shine 37, which I do recommend you should, you saw the formation of a new faction called C4. It essentially, the head of the group, I don't know if they've made any official heads of the group, but one of the quote-unquote leaders of the group to me is the Bullet Babe, Amber O'Neill. She's joined by Kennedy Brink, Andrea, and LaFisto. And I know in previous times you've heard me talk about Andrea, and she's got an ODQ match with Mercedes Martinez, which is going to be an absolute knockout, dragout match. But I'm really impressed with an up-and-comer by the name of Kennedy Brink. She just recently had a Women of Honor free match on YouTube against Rachel Ellering, out of Florida a couple weeks ago. That is up on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network Facebook page, so check it out if you can. Really impressed with what Kennedy's doing there. She's, as I was talking in the middle of the show about selling and getting your character over and doing the little things, she's on her way to developing that in a very strong way as well. So teaming up with a veteran like Amber O'Neill against Thea Trinidad, who used to be known as Rosita TNA. What a hell of a talent. She just had a match on NXT against Asuka there. Sorry, did a little cough there. And she's teaming up with ACR, Ivelisse's running mate. That should be a phenomenal tag team matchup. And then, of course, you got Ivelisse, who you've seen on Lucha Underground, taking on Vanessa Craven with the Shine Championship on the line. Like, and you also got, like, Allison Kay and LaFisto, Sweet Soraya Knight, who, if you guys don't know, that is WWE women's star Paige's mom, taking on Sue Young, which is, she's absolutely one of the best talents not in WWE right now. And I really hope she gets there soon. But top to bottom, this is like going to be a 3-hour card that's going to be absolutely spectacular. So if you get a chance, check it out. I know I'm going to have it here. I usually watch the Shine shows because the commentators do help me with a little bit of moves. If you're not learning a few moves every day, you're not getting yourself better. So, but let's move on to this Saturday, the 5th. And there's two great shows coming up. You got the PWA Remembrance Show coming for the Century Casino in Calgary. Now, you got a lot of interesting matches coming up down there. You got a triple threat tag team match with the Millennial Rebels, Colton Kelly and Reed Matthews, taking on Rage Appeal of Alan Richard Clark and Richie Rage, taking on a very unique team in the Omen Gabriel and Aiden Adams. This seems to be a rather unique pairing, and I wonder how that's going to work out. So, on top of that, you have Kenny Stryker putting up an open challenge for his Mayhem Championship. Normally, I would think that Sheik Akbar Shabazz would be the first one in line to want to get a shot at it, but he's going to have his hands full with the new Commonwealth champion, Fabian Ribeiro, which, folks, frankly, that match there, I could honestly feel that that could be a match of the year candidate here between these two guys, two veterans that know each other so well and are willing to go the extra mile to get the crowd, get over the crowd, for lack of a better term here. But then, of course, you have your main event, and it is the sixth, I think it's the 600 main event in a row for MRB, but Michael Richard Blaze is taking on Brett Morgan, as Morgan is one of the number one contenders for the PWA Heavyweight Championship. The other one, I'm not sure exactly what the situation is right now. We had a Beat the Clock challenge in Edmonton. You had Gabriel Lestat setting up a time of 11 minutes and 1 second in a match with Richie Rage. And then you had the second match with Fury and Frenetico, who are going to be going at it once again here in Calgary. But Frenetico managed to tap out Fury right around the time that was set by Gabriel. Now, all judging aside, I've been able to access some video of the event. Don't tell the video crew of PWA that I have that video, but and frankly, guys, I can't tell. It is so dang close as to whose time is better. I cannot figure it out to save my life here. So good luck with PWA trying to figure it out with the officials there. I think it's going to be bad enough that Sergeant Hazard and Andy Anderson are going to be fighting it out to see who gets that last spot. So hopefully they can shed some light on it this Saturday at the Century Casino in Calgary. So, but then if you're in Edmonton on the north side, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have your tickets in advance, you might not get in the doors. And I don't think I've ever said that about an indie show in Edmonton. Right now, we're at the point where I do believe that it's 95% sold already. I'm still trying to get tickets for the Front Row Mafia, and it's not that easy right now. So, at the Alberta Avenue Hall this Saturday at 7:30, we have Riptribution 9. Now, this is Monster Pro Wrestling's version of WrestleMania. They throw a lot of things into it, a lot of very special matches. You have the provincial title being defended by Dean Richter against Jude Dawkins and Sean Martins. Two competitors that I feel can be the future of wrestling in Alberta. And then you have apparently a four-way match for the tag team titles. I haven't received all the details on that yet. Just trying to finalize who the third and fourth team are going to be. I believe Alpha and Omega, which is Tyler James and Sydney Steele. And then, of course, you got the champions, Chris Parrish and Maniac, known as The Struggle. They're going to be involved in that. But the other two teams, I'm not 100% sure, so I never pass along false information. But there you have three other main events coming up. First of all, you have a casket match. You have the final chapter, who is scarier than hell. You got the Orion, who is angrier than hell right now. And one of these two is going in a casket and being sent to hell. So it's going to be interesting on how these guys, two big men, go in a casket. I know a couple weeks ago we had a PWA casket match, and it was absolutely brutal with these two guys, Kenny Stryker and Sheik Akbar Shabazz. They took it to another level. This one here, we got 2 7-footers going at it. So it's going to amp it up that much more. But speaking of amping it up more, I don't think the anger in the Irishman could be any higher than what it is right now, as he is going to be taking on Nightmare, who he is deeming responsible for the attack on his son Cody 2 months ago in the middle of the ring, thanks to Crazy Core and Nightmare and a inadvertent kendo stick shot. He's getting blamed for it, and now they're going to have a last man standing match. This is one way that you end the feud for sure. Whoever survives at the end and last to the referee's count of 10 is going to be the MPW provincial or heavyweight champion for that matter. But then you have the main event of the evening, which is known as the Ripper Royal. The Ripper Hardcore title is going to be on the line in a battle royal, a modified battle royal. There's a couple things that are unique to this battle royal compared to anybody else. Number one, elimination is either by pinfall or being thrown over the top rope with both feet hitting the floor. And the second one, and this is the more exciting part to most people, it is the fans bring the weapons match. So we have seen a lot of crazy items come in. A couple years ago, we had fish. I actually had my weapon banned last year, which was pancake syrup and sandpaper, because frankly, I thought that Brutal Brain Lewis needed to get a free chest shave or back shave. I heard some rumors about wanting to put it up into the logo of MPW, but hey, I'm just trying to do a public service for people. I guess if you're not going to let me bring my weapon in, I guess I won't bring any this year. So we're counting on you fans to load them up with some great weapons here for this match. This show has always been dedicated to Trevor Ripper Grimolson. A lot of details coming up on him. If you guys want to hear about him, let me know and I will do a special write-up on him here for you. But following this, on the 12th, which is 1 week later, Force Pro Wrestling is having their November show at the Army and Navy Barracks in Grand Prairie. A lot of great things came out of this card last month here, and I expect it not to continue. I was talking about MPW being sold out. Force should be sold out as well at this point, so make sure you get your tickets well in advance here. And just help support independent wrestling. I know that, unfortunately, I was going to bring it up later, but I do have a contract with the Federation that I have to allow these guys on my airwaves to do a review of the Force Pro Wrestling show. They really enjoyed the first show, and I feel that they're not going to be disappointed on the second one. So that's going to be the addition of Quick Calls coming down from there. So, but I'll, future events after that, I will talk about later on here. Don't forget, our next edition of Quick Calls is actually going to be coming up this Saturday from the Alberta Avenue Arena. I know that Andre C. and the Wrestling Mind will be there. I will be there. Things will turn a little bit back to normal here as we're going to be covering Retribution, which is going to be a humdinger of a card. Edmonton SPM presents on YouTube. We are looking at having the CWC Headlock of Horrors show. Should be coming out on Friday. I'm just going to finish up the details once I'm done publishing this podcast. And then following that, on November 11th, Remembrance Day in Canada, we are going to have the RCW Rise of Legends 6 show from Edmonton, featuring a unbelievable Monsters Ball match between Big Jess Youngblood and the Monster Abyss, TNA Impact's own Monster Abyss. It is definitely something you're not going to want to miss, folks. I hope to be back next week with another edition of the Blown Call Show, so please stay tuned for that. As well, don't forget, I'd highly recommend checking out NXT next week. You never know who's going to show up there. And, yeah, starting in January, I'm going to be a part of the Monster Pro Wrestling on Shaw TV throughout Alberta. So if you are in the Alberta region, please check that out. If you're not on Shaw Cable or you're outside the area, I have acquired the rights from MPW to broadcast those shows following their release on Shaw TV. So details on that are going to be coming out in the new year here, so stay tuned for that. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining me here this week. If you guys want to help us out, not only do we have the Front Row Mafia shirts, but we also do have our special Teespring account going on right now with our women's wrestling shirt at teespring.com/womenswrestling. That's teespring.com/womenswrestling. Just remember, folks, you don't want to call it a Divas match. You want to call it the main event, because that's what it truly is now. But I'll be back hopefully next week with another edition of the Blown Calls Show here, folks. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at MikeTheRef, on Instagram at MikeTheRefEDM, as well as my email is TheBlownCallsShow@gmail.com. Facebook.com/EdmontonSPN is the Facebook page, and I've done enough shilling for right now. So just want to remind you to be nice to your referees, because they definitely have a tough job to do. But they will come up with a blown call every once in a while. And this has been the Blown Call Show here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast.
This has been the Blown Call Show with your host, Mike the Ref, on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. For more information on all the network programming, search Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on iTunes, YouTube, and Facebook, or check out their website at edmontonspn.podbean.com.